Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. We are live from Hy-Vee Arena today. We are playing College Football 25. I just went ahead and handle my business against young Rob. He was feeling confident early on in the game. He was talking a little bit. You know what I mean? You know when you got that swagger. He had that mood like you had just got a fresh haircut. You know what I mean? You was feeling good. She just replied to you on Tinder. He thought I was going to be cooked food like I was last week. Not so fast, my friend. Luther Burden, Brady Cook. Rob, don't even pick up the microphone over there. I see you fixing to lie to the people. That's the problem with the mainstream media today. You guys spread falsehoods. You spread lies. That's why I'm here to share the truth today, formerly at the home of the Big 8 tournament, Hy-Vee Arena.
Can we talk about how the sliders?
No, we're not here to talk about any of that. What are you talking about, sliders? What is this, White Castle? We're not talking about any sliders today. I don't even know what you're speaking of today.
I had 9 holding penalties. That's normal. That's normal behavior.
Poor coaching. That's your problem. That's your problem. You wasn't coaching up your virtual players. It was sick. It was sick work today. We're going to have a lot of fun today. I got a chance to catch up with Phil Steele. We will play that for you, getting ready for college football. There are a lot of teams that think they have a chance at the college football playoff. I don't care how many teams make it, as long as there's a spot for the Missouri Tigers. There will probably not be a spot for the Kansas Jayhawks. There may be a spot for the Kansas State Wildcats. We'll talk about the Kansas City Royals. That, you know what? Yesterday, it reminded me of the past. We'll get to that. But first, take it away, Rob.
Pizza time on the drive. Pizza time on the drive, boys. Dial me up right now, 913-586-7610. Caller number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tassio. Pizza Tassio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. Pizza Tassio lovingly uses 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. Pizza Tassio also has a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wine. So whether you're having a little party for NCAA football and you want a whole pot, or just a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatassio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
Today I'm going to ask a little bit more of you than what I usually do. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends. Just tell one that if you want some of the best pizza and you want to talk Royals baseball, the best place to do that is with us right here at 610 Sports Radio. And number three, I need you to tell Rob that he is a loser. Even though he is not answering the phones today, that message, I promise you, will be relayed to Rob Brenton. Please share with your loved ones. Rob Brenton is a loser. If you do all three of those things, we will give you a pizza from our friends at Pizza Tassio. Rob, let me tell you something. Yesterday, as I was watching the Royals game, it felt like a trip back in the time. Now, you and I have been critical of the attendance this time, as the Royals are bottom 5 in attendance this year, but you know what? The first thing that Spector said when he came up to me today is he said, I went to the Royals game earlier today. And he said there was a buzz, there was an energy, there was an enthusiasm in the stadium, which makes sense. The Royals swept the Chicago White Sox. The Royals are 10 games over 500. We are less than 65 games left in the season. And if the playoffs started today, the Royals would be in it. People seem to be believing in the Royals. And then yesterday, almost a perfect baseball thing happened. Something cool was about to happen. One of the best and brightest young stars in the game of baseball was about to hit for a cycle. Now, I've been to a lot of baseball games in my day. I've never seen anybody hit for the cycle. I've been to a game where somebody hit 3 home runs before. Hell, I've been to a World Series game before. I've never seen someone hit for the cycle. So something cool is about to happen at baseball. But will baseball allow that? Of course not. The moment you're about to do something cool, someone has to throw the baseball at you. That is the only way to respond in these scenarios. And you know what? It was like I saw the 2015 Royals yesterday. You remember how the Royals used to respond. The Royals for about 2 months there, they would fight anybody. Somebody tried to fight Mike Trout. Mike Trout has never said anything in 15 years. The Royals tried to fight Mike Trout back in 2015. The Royals played with a certain level of feistiness. They played together. I saw a lot of that same energy and same fight yesterday, and it came from the people that I would not expect it from. Since when was Salvador Perez one to mix it up in the middle of the brouhaha? There are usually three people in a baseball fight. Let me tell you who the three people are. There is the peacemaker. That's who Salvador Perez normally is. Hey, guys, it's okay. He's trying to go over there and politic with the other peacemaker on the other side. There is then fake wanna fight guy. Oh, mm-hmm. We see that happen in baseball fights all the time. You gotta make, you can't go back to the clubhouse and not let them think that you're about it. So you gotta make it seem like you're ready to throw down and you're ready to rumble. And there's that ain't got nothing to do with me guy. Guy that just sits in the back. Hey, I know I'm not going to fight. I know you guys aren't going to fight in this scenario. So I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to let you guys handle it. Usually Salvador Perez is peacemaker or sit in the back. He was the most animated and most fired up yesterday. The Royals have now won 4 games in a row. They are inching closer to having a winning homestand. They still got 2 games left in this series against Arizona. They also have a 3-game set this weekend against the Chicago Cubs. For a day, it felt like we got a chance to watch the 2015 Kansas City Royals yesterday, and it was a lot of fun to see them mixing it up.
I remember that 2014-2015 team. They had these moments early and often, a lot. Like, it seemed like Yordano Ventura wanted to fight everyone every week all the time. There was the White Sox, there was the A's, there was everyone. Moments like that, I think, are unifying to the clubhouse, where it's, hey, my guy got hit or I hit a guy, and I'm going to step up and make sure that my guy's protected. And you saw that last night. Bobby Witt had a chance to do something really, really cool, and it got taken from him because he got hit by a pitch and the whole deal, of course. But not only did Salvador Perez back up his guy, but when you see the captain stand up for the star, I think it galvanizes the entire clubhouse. It has more of an effect than just, hey, we're together, we're not going to get beat up by the D-backs. There's a us-against-the-world mentality, and we saw that in 14. When the Royals said, we've arrived, they started fighting everyone, and they showed the world, hey, we've arrived. Last night, Salvador Perez backed up Bobby Witt. I think it galvanizes that clubhouse, and they're now showing the world, hey, to an extent, we've arrived. Be aware of us. We're the new kids in town, and we aren't taking anyone from anything from anybody. I loved Salvador Perez coming to defend his guy, Bobby Witt. That's a captain's job, and I think that galvanizes a clubhouse.
Yeah, I think that certain characteristics are just characteristics of good teams, and because we haven't seen the Royals be good teams for too much, we're like,
that's fair.
Oh, that reminds me of this team. Like, that's normally what teams do, but it was just good to see that the Royals had a little bit of fight, a little bit of spark, and especially with who the action was directed towards. The same way that we have seen in a lot of different scenarios, and I understand the core of this is a little bit different, but we have seen times where teams have said something in the media towards Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm. and the Chiefs usually respond to that. You remember in the Super Bowl, whenever Patrick Mahomes, the first one, he scores the rushing touchdown, and he gets up, and it is clearly directed towards Mike Florio in the comments from Pro Football Talk. When something like that happens to your leader, to see everybody rally around them, and I would say that the Royals, for a lot of ways, have two leaders. They have the new school leader in Bobby Witt Jr., and they have the old school leader in Salvador Perez. To see those two guys be on the same page, it felt very symbolic. There are certain moments that I think happen over the course of a baseball season that are sort of rallying cries. And for a team that you and I both looked at as needing to get a little bit of momentum, needing to get hot heading into that series against the Boston Red Sox, I mean, they have done exactly what you've asked them to. They have gotten quality pitching on every single one of these outings. Bobby Witt Jr. continues to be one of the hottest players in baseball. I just saw the tweet from Jeff Passan that right now, in terms of baseball war, Bobby Witt Jr. has the best war in all of Major League Baseball. And you made the point a couple of mm-hmm. days ago about him putting himself into the conversation for American League MVP. if they get back in the division conversation, we can certainly have that conversation. But aside from that, Bobby Witt Jr. has been one of the best players. And when another team goes directly at one of your guys, that is the appropriate way to respond.
It'll be interesting, and we will track the MVP thing, because I think this 7-8 game stretch Bobby Witt is on, he has re-entered the race, and now they're 4 games back at the Guardians. They're in a wild card spot. They're probably the best story in baseball, so we both know MVP is narrative-driven. I think, remember when Zach Greinke won Cy Young, there were people saying, you know, it's old school voters versus new school voters. How much value does pitcher wins have? What does this mean? Da, da, da. I think as Bobby Witt continues to play well, people like Jeff Passan, who I believe have an MVP vote, saying, hey, he's the best war player in baseball versus the old school, which is Aaron Judge is pounding homers, will be an interesting thing to track. And it is fun to have an MVP conversation in both football and baseball in Kansas City. I don't know many cities in America that can say that, not just this year, but ever. They have a potential MVP in both sports.
You know what? We are going to try something a little bit different today. Now, we have never tried this before.
So we'll backfire.
We are going to try a live version of how many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight. I would normally give the phone line. We don't have to give the phone line. We have enough people right here that we can at least try it. If it fails, it fails. But let's play a live edition of how many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight. We need you to pull up the attendance from yesterday. Let's see how many people were there. Tell us what they have going on tonight. It is Tuesday, so we do have dollar dogs tonight out at Kauffman Stadium. Come see one of the hottest teams in baseball. We'll try to guess the attendance next. Keep it right here. So drive. It is time to play the game that is sweeping the city. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight? I argued for you earlier today, Aaron Ladd. Let me tell you, we might do an immediate emergency people's court today while we're all here. I'm going to tell you how you got screwed out of your opportunity to play in the college football tournament. We'll do that next. All right. It is time to play a game that the mayor of Kansas City has played. Aaron Ladd has played. That's it in terms of important people that have played this game. We try to guess the attendance at tonight's Royals game. Rob, let us know who won yesterday and how many people went to Kauffman Stadium.
Yesterday on a Price Chop Monday, we saw 16,265 at the K.
Ooh, that's not bad. I think I had 17. I thought we were going to do a little better yesterday.
We were all in the ballpark. We did have a winner, so no double prize today. Tonight's promotions for the D-backs on a Tuesday, it is bucket hat giveaway. The first 10,000 fans to be a bucket hat. And
so everybody gets one today.
I don't know. 6,000 last night, wouldn't
it? Everybody gets one today.
And as always, Tuesday is Dollar Dog Night at the K, so you get dollar hot dogs.
All right, dollar dogs at the stadium, bucket hat boys. And the Royals are one of the hottest teams in baseball. They have not lost since the All-Star break. All right, closest to the number without going over wins a prize. We're also going to do an emergency people's court. This is very important. We have 4 people here today. Rob, who is first up playing?
First up, we
who
got...
Who wants to go to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
Josh. Josh, how many people do you have going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
I'm going to go 21-3.
Did you hear how many people went to yesterday's game? Was you not listening?
There's a giveaway tonight.
Okay. Oh, my bad. All right, my bad. I didn't mean... Okay, my bad. I didn't know. You heard 16,000. Those hot dogs getting people in attendance today. My bad. All right. I'm apologize to you. I mean, everybody going to the game today he's got. All right.
Player number 2, great first name. It's your first round matchup in the NCAA tournament game. It is Rob. Rob, how many people do you have going to the game today?
Disqualified. He's out of here. Get him out of here. Get him out of here.
Hey, the boys are playing some ball, and after that melee last night, they're going to get some folks out there. And shout out to Shamrock. I'll be out there later, too. Give me 22 flat.
Oh, what's going on today? People, there's a lot of optimism right now for the Royals. Yo, that man brought his own controller to the venue today, bro. Remove him immediately from the function. Please remove him. All right, who's next, Rob?
We got Sean. Sean, how many have you going to the Kauffman Stadium tonight?
I've got 17,435.
A realistic number today. A realistic number.
Or a hater. Six in one hand, half a dozen the other.
All right, we got one more person playing the game of how many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
Zach, you're in the driver's seat. Get to pick last. How many people you got?
I'm going to go with 19K even.
Ooh. Is this possible that we could get an over? Let's see. We'll let Aaron Ladd guess here. Aaron Ladd came to sit down with us. Aaron Ladd looked at me very confused, like he's never played this before.
I'm eating right now.
You have a potato chip. That counts as a singular chip. That's snacking.
I was not prepared for this. Y'all told me pull up to Hy-Vee like it was like.
I didn't know you were coming.
Rob didn't prepare me for this.
To play the game we play every Tuesday when you're on the show?
You make it like this game caught you off guard.
Didn't they get like 26K over the weekend?
Yeah, over the weekend. It's Tuesday.
They did 26 Friday, 27 Saturday, 22 on Sunday.
It's Tuesday in Kansas City. It is Bucket Hat, though.
I didn't listen.
The people here are very optimistic.
To anyone else's guesses.
Okay, well, that's par for your course of your appearances on the show. That's par for
Let me go 16,420.
16,420.
Yeah.
Don't point like that. Don't do that.
I didn't say nothing.
Don't do that, lad. Don't be that person.
All right, no. So this is Aaron. Yeah. I got to give you this. Thanks, Quinn. We appreciate it, man. Thanks for playing. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tomorrow? We actually have two more games this week. We have a game tomorrow and a game Friday. I think Friday could sell out. Patrick Mahomes' day at the K.
I'll be out there.
And they're having the Cubs.
Work or the Cubs.
Are you working, though, or are you just out there?
You know, Aaron is only going.
Oh, he's press box for sure. 100%.
Aaron only goes to trendy sporting events.
Yes. I mean, it's the Mahomes bobblehead night. It actually looks good. It's got the Adidas on it and everything. Yeah.
You have never just been to a regular Wednesday Royals game. You can't get any likes on Instagram just going on a regular Wednesday. There ain't no fireworks. There ain't no people in the stands.
I still have to try the fancy taco and do a review for it, you know?
Are you going to expense that? You got that. What are they paying you over there at 41? They paying you for $25 tacos? That's crazy.
Fancy is loose.
I can't afford that.
Fancy's a loose term.
Let me tell you what happened here. So, Binkley couldn't play today. So, I said, why don't we just give Aaron Binkley's spot? He wants to play.
Okay.
I was like, let's give Aaron the spot so the guy just doesn't get an automatic. Expect it was like, you know, anytime somebody starts going, oh, man, you know he about to start lying to you. That's what he said. He was like, oh, man, I mean, I already told him that he was moving on to the next round. I'm like,
wow.
That ain't how it goes.
He got a bye?
That's what I said. I was like, somebody is here. Ready to step
up. I'm ready to fill in.
Ready to take his
spot. I'm a personality.
Spot.
And I've talked about my skills
because,
before,
because,
too.
Because of Bink, now you can just get an automatic. Bink had never played the game anyway. You shouldn't just get an automatic dub to the next round. You got to earn it out here. That's the problem with you millennials. Y'all don't want to work hard for anything anymore. You don't want to earn anything anymore. You just want an automatic spot given to you to go to the next round.
I was ready and willing. This is crazy.
I vote to put you in. You're here. I vote to put you in the tournament. That's what I do.
Expect what we think.
Put Aaron in the. Oh, that's not right.
Yeah.
Racial discrimination. We got a lawsuit coming. Man.
I think that's he's afraid right. of me winning. Is what it really
that's,
is.
That's
coming in and upstaging. Yeah, the main timer. That's crazy.
No, that's 100%.
That's wild.
How was Chiefs camp today?
I didn't go.
Is that your job?
If you would have asked me before, I would have gave you the list. I do have a list. Chiefs camp is on it. We could talk a little Kadarius Toney, but I was not at Chiefs camp today.
Were you at Chiefs camp yesterday?
I have been at Chiefs camp since, and I was there with the rookies and quarterbacks last time.
I don't know what you do at 41, but I know I need to figure out a way to be doing that with my life.
What you mean,
you
man?
You work 2 days a week.
I am weekend sports anchor. That is when I work. I tell you this every time we come on.
Except for random Wednesdays. You're like, hey, I'm at a high school all-star game, so I can't do anything. Sorry.
It's a moving target. It's a moving target.
100%. So I thought you would move to St. Joe. I thought training camp would be the target. That's what I thought.
I kept my eyes on things. I've seen the Xavier Worthy pops and Justin Reed's going to miss some time. I'm tapped in.
I'm happy to hear that the weekend sports director over at 41 at 41 Action News is dialed in.
Jeez.
I'm happy to hear that that's the case. Are you a believer in this Kadarius Toney could move to running back conversation? I am actually a believer. Rob, you already know him. The moment he heard running back, he didn't want any part of the conversation of Kadarius Toney moving to running back. I actually think it's a good idea. I think we know at this point what Kadarius Toney is. It is a lost trade. So if you're going to have him on the team this year and you're going to lose $4 million if you cut him at the end, you might as well see what he can do. I'm for finding out. I don't care if he can be the team cook. Have him do kick return, punt return, meal prep. I don't care what it can do for Kadarius Toney. At least let's find out. over the course of these next 7 weeks what he can do.
See, I'm closer to Rob than this on, than you on this one, because this feels like you go to a garage sale and you're like, oh, well, it could also be this. You know, it's a hanger, but it could also be something that you use for ironing. Like, they're trying to multi-package him in a way that makes him look as most valuable as possible. I don't think it's going to work at wide receiver. I don't think it's going to work at running back. I don't even know if it would work at Team Cook. But where I push back on what you just said was it was a failed trade. I don't think it was a failed trade. The punt returns that he made, those two plays that he made in the Super Bowl win over the Eagles, got you that win. To me, based alone, we know what the rest of the way has been. We know what the New England game was. He was a healthy scratch in this last Super Bowl. We know the relationship. We know the Instagram Live. It hasn't looked good, but based solely on those two returns and getting you that Lombardi trophy, I think KC got what they needed out of the deal.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could say that, but I mean, it feels like Kadarius Toney is just that guy that did that one thing the one time where you still got
it
him.
It won you the thing. It captured the goal, correct? The goal is to win a championship. You do not win that championship without those two plays, Carrington. The longest punt return in Super Bowl history, I may mention, by the way.
Yeah, the Eagles then tied the game up 4 minutes later. Rob and I are the only two people in the city
that feel like
the Kadarius Toney punt return is just overrated. The game was tied the next possession. Then Mahomes had to run with the big long run down the middle of the field. That was a much bigger play than the Kadarius Toney punt return. Like, why do we do this?
Because then I could also come back and say the Isaiah Pacheco touchdown that finished off that first drive out of the third quarter is the most important play. Because if they don't score on that drive, and if Philly scores even a field goal, is Kansas City in position to have the Kadarius Toney play?
No, that's a fair point.
Sure. Oh, they all stack on top of each other. Sure, he did the one thing the one time, but to make a Sex and the City reference, if it's the one thing that you really remember very well, I mean, you call that guy again. You try and figure out another way on the roster to make it all work.
Can you stop with this Sex and the City?
I'm on season four now, actually, man.
This is what it sounds like.
It's kind of fire.
No, this is what it sounds like.
It helps you. It helps you learn. You, of all people, should know.
I've seen sex. I've dated a woman before, so I've watched Sex and the City.
Not successfully.
You just know what it sounds like.
Carrie Bradshaw.
This is what it sounds like to me. This would be like if Rob came up to you one day and was like, hey, have you heard this rapper Young Jeezy? God, he's really good. That's what it's like, you in 2024 coming up to me like, yo, you asked me last time I saw you, have you seen this show called Sex and the City?
I just said I'm getting up on game.
I've seen this show.
I'm getting up on game.
The show's 25 years old. What are you going to watch next, Entourage?
Download it on my iPod Touch, yeah.
You got a Zoom. You don't even got the iPod Touch. All right, you know what? I have to play my college football game, so I have to leave you.
Wow. He's got 30 minutes, then he'll be back. Rob, don't worry. I have no fear.
21 skunks
just,
really quickly.
I just beat Rob earlier today. How can Rob look at me with this disrespect?
He's 1-4 talking spicy. He's talking
your first
big
win
spicy.
Since you got the game?
You're only as good as your last game. Is that not accurate?
I played as UCLA. Just I'm like, let's play for vibes. Sure. Like, I got to get Mizzou in. I got to get my work in. I got to know what's happening. He was taking this game way more seriously.
I just want him to notice that now he acknowledges Missouri.
They're one
of the better teams on the game. You know what I mean?
He was trying to deny that.
Yeah. He was trying to treat like I got Texas or somebody. Like, you got Georgia.
Yeah, UCLA, you were going for the Eric Bieniemy offense?
Mess around, find out, see. I had 9 holding penalties. It was a disaster. Ooh,
the penalties are weird on the game.
Very weird.
I don't have a system. I've played since I played you, but it still feels like there's a couple bugs that need to be worked out as everybody gets the game and enjoys it right here.
Do you want to do your, we'll let you talk about whatever you want to talk about. Usually
sure.
This is where I would tell Quentin to fire some music, but Quentin, he's.
Is that who's in the back?
Yeah, he's holding down the fort right now. I don't even know what your I want to talk about anything is.
No pre-pro here, no nothing.
Time's yours.
Oh, look, he hit you with some music. Just go. That's what he said.
All right, this is a little weird. This is off. You know me. I'm a little off.
No, we certainly are.
Off center.
We definitely have.
I was in the Target by the station recently, and I noticed the physical media section, like the books and the CDs and the newspapers.
Skimpy.
It's like one aisle now.
Skimpy.
I'm a knickknack guy. I don't know. I enjoy ticket stubs. I went to a concert recently. No ticket stub. It's just the screenshot of the thing you have to tap up.
Aaron, you were born after 2000.
I collect magnets.
You're talking to me about the good old days.
I collect stickers. I collect koozies. The lost art of the knickknack is kind of making me sad. And walking through the Target aisle, I'm somebody who collects vinyl records and they're changing. Remember the Super Bowl? There was like a vocal gaffe in there, and they're re-editing and re-going through things.
Quentin's it wasn't a vocal gaffe. Her voice cracked. That ain't no vocal gaffe.
We gotta keep physical media alive. I feel like I'm one of the last of a dying breed here.
I mean, that's why vinyl last year is selling. People like physical things that they can touch and that they can hold. That's
I still have my first high school newspaper clippings from when I like just started doing like journalism. Like I keep a lot
they
of
had
my
newspapers in 2012.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
You just graduated high school in 16.
I finished in 14, actually.
You graduated high school over Zoom during COVID.
<Shut up. laughs>
By the way, real quick, I've been giving you an update. Dusty down 14-0 in the first quarter. So Dusty getting smacked around. Coach Prime is not coaching well in there right now.
Getting Jeez. The beats. That's what he's doing.
Didn't he say he doesn't play video games?
Perfect
he's like
timing.
Oh, yeah, too easy. It's big. Big talk from Dusty. Dusty was laying the groundwork for a beatdown.
That's always what folks say when they about to lose. Man, I don't really play the game like that. Man, you got way more free time than me. No, we all have the same amount of time in a day. I've just allocated my time different than you have. All right, coming up on the other side, I'm going to hand things off to Rob Britton. Aaron Ladd.
Audible.
He just kicked me off the stick.
live show business right
just
here.
Kicked me off the stick. He told me to do it. Now
live
he kicked
show
me off the stick. It's crazy. I will be here. Aaron will be here. Rob will be here. Keep it right here. It's the drive.
Hey, it's Cole Reagans, and welcome back to The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Weekdays 2 to 6 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. I did see with my own two eyes Dusty scored a touchdown. It was looking scary hours for my boy. Whew. It was a little, you know, you start pressing, you start running no huddle. He's a little pressed. He was.
Catch the defense off the guard.
He started talking tempo. You start talking to the game. I know you're getting cooked in there. I did see Dusty score a touchdown. He was down 13-7. I saw Cody was playing. He was asking the buttons. I don't know why you came. You asking for help. You asking
too
for
late
the
in
controls.
The game. Too late.
Yeah. I don't know why you came.
By the way, Dusty did score. He went for two because kicking is just not going to be a thing for him today. He's down 13-8 to K-State right now.
Okay, all right, little Avery Johnson love.
Cody threw a pick on his first play.
The Xbox is throwing me off. I would need PS5. That's my home.
Guy who's not playing explains why he
you
wouldn't
even
be good.
Have a console. What are you talking about?
The last console I had. That's the one I feel most comfortable with.
What was the last console that you had?
A Nintendo Wii. I was doing like Wii Fit. I had the little board, you know, the little weight scale board you stand on.
You was definitely trying to get the girls to come over to do Wii bowling.
Yeah, you know, you can customize your Mii over here, you know. You had to delete her Mii before the next Jordy came over, though, and then it's like.
Wow, you had them like that.
Whose Mii is this?
Oh, it's my cousin. You got to start coming up
your family friends.
You got to start coming up with immaculate lies back during those times. I was in college when Wii Sports came out, and that bowling game, you want to talk about some intensity. Oh, my goodness.
Keep your arms straight and, you know, follow through.
What a time, man. What an absolute time.
It was an era.
What a time here.
You were 30 when that game came out.
Yeah, no, you were 9 when that game came out. And you were 9. That was actually your first video game console was a Nintendo Wii. I do want to get your thoughts as we are heading into camp.
Sure.
I think Chiefs camp is boring. And, like, I don't say that as, like, a knock towards Kansas City. It's just you're a Super Bowl team. We expect you to be playing – up until Valentine's Day. I'm not really caught up with July football practices for you. We know your roster. We know you're going to be good. The over-under for them is set at, what, 11.5 this year. They've only hit the under one time over the course of the last 7 years or so. I just expect the Chiefs to be really good. What are you looking for? What are you watching for when you go up to camp?
You Kansas Cityans are so jaded. Oh, camp bores me now. Yawn. Oh.
Do you want to know who camp is
I don't
is
need
good
to
for?
Go up to St. Joe.
No, camp is good if you're.
Call me in October.
If you're Atlanta. It's great if you're
Come
Atlanta.
On, man.
You got a lot of unproven pieces that are now trying to gel with the new quarterback. It's great if you cheer for Carolina to see if Bryce Young can get cooking. No, it makes a lot of sense why you would do that. What's the excitement as a Chiefs fan for training camp? Just football's back?
Your left tackle has never played a full season, no matter who it
You're
is.
You're going
Dot.
Up there to watch the left tackle battle?
That's how you continue to keep a dynasty going.
Yeah, I'm not denying like, it from the roster build. I'm saying is if I live in Olathe, I am driving in my car to St. Joe so I can watch the left tackle battle.
Or you see what Xavier Worthy does, and he gives you a pop. The thing is, and Pat said this on day one, I think people didn't give enough credence to this. It played a little bit nationally, but not as much as I think it would. He was pissed off with the way they played throughout the regular season last year. They did not play well on a week-to-week basis. The helmet toss, the Kadarius Toney lineup offside, MVS dropped an absolute bunny in the Eagles game. Like, we can go down the list. They did not look like a Super Bowl contending, a Super Bowl championship team for a majority of the regular season. They turned it on late. The Christmas loss to the Raiders really lit a fire under them. But when Andy Reid, and I'll give Matt Cotrero credit as well because he says this till his ears bleed, you're trying to get 1% better each day. The only way to accomplish a 3%, a three-peat, don't give me that look. The only way to accomplish a three-peat.
You just quoted the Royals manager and said we're trying to get 1% better. That's the conversation we're having today about why training camp is exciting. Hey, we're trying to get 1%
Tom
better.
Tom Brady said this during his acceptance speech.
Now we're quoting Tom Brady.
Yes, Tom Brady said this during his Patriots Hall of Fame, right? Like, greatness comes from the boring things. Jerome Tang has said this. Same old boring habits. Like, Kansas City lost touch with the little things last year.
No, they didn't lose touch with the little things. They had a bottom three wide receiver room in the National Football League. They had Kadarius Toney, who maybe isn't an NFL player. They had Sky Moore, who isn't an NFL player. They had MVS right now, who signed a one-year prove-it deal with the team in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. They had Rashee Rice, who has a very limited route tree, and they just had to basically use him as an extension of the running game. They didn't have weapons last year. They now have weapons and guys to throw the football to.
Yeah, but training camp is the time that you acclimate those weapons to how you do business. Hollywood Brown doesn't know what it's like to be a Kansas City Chief. Xavier really doesn't know what it's like to be a professional football player.
Yeah. I was very impressed with that deep pass they had a couple
that,
days ago.
See, that's where I'm jaded. Because
you're excited about the left tackle battle, but Xavier Worthy has a 70-yard catch, and
we might see that play three times throughout the season.
Yeah, they're going to go.
But
for
we're going to see the left tackle. We're going to see the left tackle for 60 snaps a game.
Right.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Am I wrong?
Okay.
If you think Kingsley Suomati'i is going to be the guy against the best edge rusher, I mean, the first two games, C-Dot are against the Ravens in Cincinnati. You're two opponents in the AFC. You're not walking into a cakewalk schedule. This is not an SEC football schedule that you're getting the first 2 weeks of the season. You're playing the two contenders against you in your own conference. And if you're starting a guy in Y.A. Morris who hasn't played consistently, either way, this is where you prove it right here.
No, I mean, I'm excited about the left tackle battle.
You just don't go up to St. Joe for the left tackle
battle? Yeah, if that's the only thing that we're looking for, let's just fast forward till we get to the second preseason game. That, again, I'm not saying it is not a knock toward the Chiefs in any way, the training camp. I want a boring training camp. Sure. Right now, the only things that can happen for the Chiefs are negative. The only things that can happen.
They haven't exhausted those yet this offseason?
No, the only things that can happen are negative for the Chiefs at this point. Think about it. Injuries. There's nothing that can happen in St. Joe that makes you feel different about the Chiefs. They're the favorite to win the Super Bowl. Like, I look at this team. So I was on a radio interview yesterday. I was in Boston. It was like a gambling kind of centric show.
Nice.
And I
you
was
the
asked.
Bag? They paid you?
No, I did not. I just did it just off.
Agent?
I just did it off the humble.
Ooh.
I just did it because I care.
What's going on?
I just did it because I care. And they asked me, other than injuries, why would the Chiefs not win the Super Bowl? And I really struggled to figure out the answer to that question.
Why now, wouldn't the Chiefs win the Super Bowl?
Obviously, football can happen.
Sure.
But I don't see a clear obvious weakness for Kansas City. Now, I think they could be better at some positions. They don't have the best running back room in the National Football League. They don't have the best wide receiver room in the league. No. I wouldn't call running back a weakness for Kansas City. I wouldn't call wide receiver based on who they have right now as a weakness. Like, I just look at this team right now, they just feel good to great at almost every position group on the field. You obviously feel great about quarterback, running back. They have one of the five best offensive lines in the league. I think this team is good enough at wide receiver. They're not elite at wide receiver. Sure. If you get a healthy Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice doesn't get suspended, which I don't think he's going to be suspended.
This year?
No, I just
– I would push back on that just a little bit.
Hunt hasn't heard from the league. Clark Hunt would have an idea. Clark Hunt said yesterday he hadn't heard from the league about anything of that.
Okay, that could change overnight.
That's true.
But we also saw – you remember whenever Two Guns Frank Clark – got jammed up in California for the gun charge. It took them a whole year for that thing legally to be wrapped up. So I think we're talking about next season until Rashee Rice. So if you got Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, you got Travis Kelce, you got Isaiah Pacheco, you got Worthy as your fifth option, and then you know with Mahomes you're going to spread the ball around, and there's certainly enough in the passing game. And defensively, the Chiefs are one of the five best defenses in the league. Like, we are talking about a team right now that does not have a weakness as of now.
I think training camp is also a big reason why they are favorites, Dodd. I remember being at last year's Super Bowl, and we're rehashing through all of last season. And going all the way back to training camp, you hear consistently from new Chiefs, from Chiefs who have been there before, from people who have been in the system to people who are just joining the team, Andy Reid has one of the most strenuous, trying, tough, perplexing training camps that immediately forces you into not only physical condition, but forces you into a mental condition as well, learning the playbook, understanding the concepts. Luis Riz-Zamit talking about, you know, I got to play catch up, not only because I haven't played American football, but because this is one of the toughest courses to take when you're studying what is the theory of football. That's the reason why they start fast in the past. I think it's another reason why they're favorites. I would have a hard time with you thinking on why they don't win it all, I guess. They seemed obviously positioned to do so.
The only reason to me they would not win is just football happens.
You don't think there's any other – you don't think Baltimore figures it out?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's football happening.
See, when I hear football happening, I think injuries. I think
that's also part of it, though.
Defensive line room, they're probably one injury away from it being disastrous. We saw what their D-line was like without Chris
Jones. I mean, I think that's most teams in the league, like, you know, if an injury happens. I just think the same way with the Patriots, that the Patriots had an incredible run, a 20-year run. Just other guys won championships. It doesn't mean that something was broken with the New England Patriots, just you didn't win this time. I think that could be the scenario. Like, I mean, I would argue that Kansas City's best team they've had during this run, they just didn't win the Super Bowl. I think in 2020, from top to bottom, I think that was the most complete, the most dominant team that they have had so far. Injuries happen. Football happened. You just didn't win the Super Bowl. That could possibly happen this year, but there is not one thing that I can point to right now. Now, let's also see. Maybe to your point, we get here at the beginning of the season, I look at the left tackle situation. It's yikes. They completely miscalculated it, and they thought that Kingsley Suamatia was going to be ready at left tackle.
You're going to figure that out eventually.
That's how you pronounce his name.
I thought it was Suamataia.
How do you pronounce it, Rob?
Suamataia.
That's what I said, right?
No.
You were close. That was the closest he's been.
Yeah, I was going to get.
Yeah.
This is why you need to go to training camp.
He was calling
you
Kingsley.
You haven't been. You can pronounce it. Say it one more time. Suamataia?
Yes.
Okay, my bad. Kingsley Suamataia. I'm working on it, man. I'm trying to be the best broadcaster I can be, Aaron Ladd. The best I can be. Jeez.
All this work. He's going to lose the left tackle job. You're going to forget how to say Wanye.
Something tells me that Dusty just got smoked the way that Alex Gold walked out here.
Pete Sweeney makes me believe that Kingsley is the favorite right now. And I was kind of on the
other. You still talk to that traitor?
I am still a member of Arrowhead Pride. Yeah,
wow.
I can't believe y'all let him walk. I don't want to put y'all on blast. I know Speck is around here somewhere.
You say y'all? What do you mean by y'all? Y'all would mean I'm included. I didn't have nothing to do with that.
I just saw the news online.
That's how I found out.
Y'all let homie walk. Y'all let him walk across the street.
Now he the ops. I thought you behind the scenes had something to do with it. You might be the ops. You might be switching teams.
Well, I did hear there was an opening.
That's some kind of stuff.
I'd love to throw my hat in the ring.
That's some kind of stuff that you would do. All right. You always have some notes when you
come
here.
I got a list. We already got my Sex in the City. We can check that off.
All right. I don't. Your check was I watch a. This is the thing that really makes me laugh. This is the last thing I want to say about Sex and the City. If you had to make a top five list of HBO shows, that would be on the list. So the fact that now you're watching it is just crazy. That would be like if you came up to me like, oh, I'm watching Sopranos. Yeah, I've already seen that before.
Well, you have to understand, one, I don't have any subscriptions ever. So I'm always limited to whose subscription that I'm logged into.
Do you want me to
I'll
give you HBO Max right now.
Well, I have one now.
Okay, my bad. I didn't
know. That's why I'm watching Sex and the City.
No, good point. I didn't know.
You don't have Peacock? You don't have some sort of backdoor in for Peacock?
Is it on Peacock as well?
Aren't you an NBC affiliate? You don't have all those
they
ways?
They don't give y'all Peacock?
Ironically, I think I've been expensing Peacock lately.
What do you want to talk? You have a list of things you want to talk about. What's next on the Aaron Ladd list?
The WNBA All-Star Game was the best of all of the All-Star contests across the major sports this year.
Because they try.
And there was beef involved. You could tell that there was there wasn't anger, but there was a pure competitiveness to prove that the players that were on the WNBA team, meaning that they didn't make the USA basketball roster, the Ariko Ogunbowales of the world and like Caitlin Clark and that kind of thing, they wanted to play their best game. They wanted to go out there and prove that they belong.
This is why. And this is why.
And it was exciting. It was entertaining. People were tuned in. It wasn't the Elam ending, the Saturday night festivities, the skill competition, and the three-point. I thought that was an exciting addition as well with the girl from the Atlanta Dream winning both of them and making three times whatever her salary was. Like, they did a really good job with it, and the W has continued to capitalize on this momentum time in and time out.
The W capitalizes on this momentum because of one reason. Their players care. This is my, by far and away, biggest problem with the NBA. And I said, as someone that loves the NBA, NBA players act too cool to try sometimes. And I think that just turns off the regular person. Hey, you make all of this money. All we're asking you to do is play basketball, and you make it seem like it's the hardest possible thing in the world. During the All-Star game, they asked Anthony Edwards, and he's like, well, this game's an exhibition.
I can't see
myself ever trying. It's a game for the fans. It just comes off as so disrespectful to fans that I think people are falling in love with the WNBA and attracted to the WNBA is I think they understand this is our moment. This is our shot. So, hey, when we are in front of the camera, I need to make sure I got the right fit on so when the camera gets me. Hey, when we play, hey, there's celebrities now coming to the game. Hey, people are interested. It was an 800% increase in ratings for the WNBA All-Star Game because people want to see you play, go out there and put on a good game. The women players understand that. The men players, they just act way too cool for school.
You don't think Caitlin Clark, and to your point, right, like WNBA players would say, hey, we have a condensed schedule. We're moving around. This year it was in Naptown. I can't believe they put the All-Star game in it. Like, we don't want to go here and technically work for the first 2 days of what's supposed to be a five-day vacation. Caitlin Clark's gassed. Been playing basketball at the college level, goes to the draft, immediately jumps into being the number one pick. She talked about it at the podium for this game, wanting to take a break from ball, essentially. Didn't do the three-point competition because she was tired and needed a break. I thought her and Angel Reese, what they added to that team, and just the moment overall, it's just been really cool to watch. I'm not somebody, and I've tweeted in the past, yo, KC would be a great market for WNBA. I think that we have the passion, and it's been showing with the current, like, we could support a professional basketball team in this market, and why not look at the W, a league that's trying to expand and add teams on. But what they're doing right now, it's the arrow's pointed firmly upward. It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah, the only thing I guess I feel about the Caitlin Clark is she doesn't have to do everything.
She does.
But
part of it is that, I mean, you said it best. Like, part of the influx is her and Reese and what they had at the college level.
But I would say if you were only interested in the WNBA because of Caitlin Clark, then you're not interested in women's basketball.
Sure.
And that's fine. The same way that I was not interested in hearing about any of these other golfers. When Tiger was done, I am done. I'm not continuing to watch. I don't watch golf now.
But the league is going to nudge her every time and say, kind of like they'll do in MLB, will do for Bobby Witt Jr. going forward now. Like, yo, You're a rising star. We need you. We saw that in Winning Time. You know how they took Magic to the side and were like, you're the MVP. We need you to be the face. A part of us as a league capitalizing on this moment is you being ever present. And I'm sure I can imagine how much that takes on her, but she's still there. She's still showing up.
But shouldn't the All-Star game be an example that,
hey, you can do it without her?
And there's way more women basketball players. The fact that the women's Olympic team, that is the hands-on, odds-on favorite to win the gold medal.
Not even on it.
We saw them lose a game. Maybe, just maybe, the WNBA is more deep and talented than people thought 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And now they're getting so, like, I think if you are serious in real long-term growth, sure, I'm interested in Caitlin Clark. I like watching her play. You got to grow the thing as a whole. And that's why, I mean, she's 22 years old. Yep. She's going to be in the All-Star game. She's going to do the men's three-point contest like we saw Sabrina Ionescu do last year. Like, she is going to be a part of everything. She doesn't have to do everything every single time for women's basketball. You can highlight Asia Wilson. You can highlight the other great players in the WNBA. Why can't the Olympics be about that, too?
She's balling out this year, man. The rookie, that's where the attention now goes. If we're going from All-Star to now actually looking at, they're going to take a month off for the Olympic break and then come back in and do that last stretch before playoffs and we'll get the final award count. That's what all the conversation is going to be. Is the conversation, is the MVP award going to go to a good player on a bad team, or is it going to go to Angel Reese, somebody who's had this long run of double-doubles? We'll see how long that streak goes on. Asia Wilson is having one of the best years in league history on the back of what she's done the last few years, their championship team, the awards conversation around the women's basketball is where it goes next. And that maybe that shows us we really made it, Dot. We're going to be arguing as NFL season kicks up and some of the awards, and we're going to be having that conversation. That's going
to
be interesting.
Yeah, I don't think that's a world that we are anywhere close to living to, that we're going to be talking about the WNBA in September. But you know what? I love the optimism. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to talking about football. It was reported today in the Washington Post that the NFL Players Association and the owners have had conversations at, quote, a very high level about expanding the NFL regular season. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. See ya.